Thank you, Don. We are sticking in the book of Kings, as we have for the last several weeks. We kind of bumped back a few chapters, maybe to pick up a text this morning that would fit in well for this Father's Day. So I hope you will indulge us in doing that. But we will continue on over the next few weeks in this book. You know, the story is told of an old man named Fred. And he'd been a faithful Christian for all of his life, and he was in the hospital near death. So the family called the minister and asked if he would come in and be with Fred for a while. And as the preacher stood next to the bed, Fred's condition appeared to deteriorate quickly. And he motioned frantically for something to write on. So the preacher handed him a pen and a piece of paper, and Fred used his last bit of energy to scribble a note. He handed the note to the preacher, and within just a couple of minutes he passed. The preacher thought it best not to look at the note at the time, so he just simply folded it up and placed it in the pocket of his jacket. At the funeral for Fred, he was finishing his message and he realized that he was wearing the same coat or jacket that he had on that evening at the hospital. And he said, "You know, Fred handed me a note just before he died. I haven't looked at it, but knowing Fred, I'm sure there's a word of inspiration there for us all." So he opened the note and he read, "Hey, you're standing on my oxygen tube." Probably have heard that story before, but that was the famous last words of Fred. And we have some of those recorded throughout history. We have some here this morning that was read for us just a moment ago. Others that we have, Marie Antoinette, on her way to death. Of course, she was put to death. She accidentally stepped on the toe of her executioner. And her final words were, "Pardon me, sir, I didn't mean to do that." The very last words of P.T. Barnum, who is the famous circus owner and entertainer, were, "How were my receipts today?" And John Newton, of course, the former slave trader turned preacher and hymn writer, said this as death neared him. He said, "I'm still in the land of the dying, but I shall be in the land of the living soon." The famous last words, the father's advice here of David to his son Solomon. You know, being a parent and a father can be an interesting experience. And I think we've got several fathers in our audience this morning. Now several that are even grandfathers and maybe great-grandfathers. But you know that experience. You know what it's like to be that father, to be that dad. Dads are special people, and I think we realize that. And I don't know that society realizes that, but if the statistics were looked at, obviously dads are important. Today we have some 25 million children that do not live with fathers in their home. These statistics point out the importance of a father in a home. 63% of all youth suicides are youth who do not have a father in the home. 85% of children with behavior disorders don't have a father in the home. 80% of rapists come from a family with no father in the home. 71% of high school dropouts, no father. 70% of teenage pregnancies, no father in the home. 75% of all the youth in chemical abuse centers have no father in the home. And 85% of youths in some sort of correctional facility come from a family with no father in the home. And there are some who say dads aren't important. I want to say this morning, dads are extremely important. If you're here this morning and you're raising a family, what an awesome responsibility. Any man can have a kid. It takes a special person to be a godly father. That's what David was encouraging here, as Solomon would carry on. Don't misunderstand me. David made some critical errors in his life. And they had an adverse effect on his children. We know those stories. We've read that story and know what happened. But here Solomon is listening to these final words. And let's look at them once again from 2 Kings chapter 2. "When the time drew near for David to die, he gave a charge to Solomon his son. I am about to go the way of all the earth." He's saying, "My time's near. It's just about it. I'm going to pass on." So he said, and listen, So be strong, show yourself a man, and observe what the Lord your God requires. Walk in His ways and keep His decrees and commands, His laws and requirements as written in the law of Moses, so that you may prosper in all you do and wherever you go, and that the Lord may keep His promise to me. If your descendants watch how they live, and if they walk faithfully before me with all their heart and soul, you will never fail to have a man on the throne of Israel. Three quick things that I want to look at this morning from this text. Three things that David is sharing with Solomon, which I think are great things for fathers to share with their sons as they pass that legacy on. First of all, he simply says, be strong. And doesn't this sound like something we tell our sons? Be strong, stay tough, hang in there, don't give up. It's sometimes easy to take that cocky attitude, pretend to be brave and strong. But what Solomon needed was true strength, strength that only God can give. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, Paul writes, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. That's where that strength comes from. David wasn't telling Solomon the strength from himself. He says, be strong in the Lord. The Lord has given me this promise. If we remain faithful, He will be with us. Don't turn from Him. You know, we live in a dangerous world, and there are things that we fear. You know, one summer evening during a violent thunderstorm, a mother was tucking her small boy into bed. She was about to turn off the light, and the boy asked with a tremor in his voice, Mommy, will you sleep with me tonight? The mother smiled and gave him that reassuring hug. She said, I can't, dear. I have to sleep with Daddy. A long silence was broken, and his little shaky voice then said, well, that big sissy. You know, we have those things that we fear, don't we? But it's just perspective. That big sissy. Now think about this. David was dying and Solomon would soon be taking his place as the king of Israel. Think about what that meant, what that entailed. Israel being the powerful nation that it was at that time. Prosperous. A lot of work had been put into that. Solomon was about to take that over. He was responsible, would be responsible. He needed to stand firm against the opposition that he would face. Dads, we're responsible for our families. We need to stand firm against opposition. And do we have that opposition? You bet we do. Now more today than any. We see that at every turn. The enemy's on the prowl. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around you like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. We must be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. We're to be actively engaged in combat with anything that would cause harm to our families. Strength in life requires character, determination, integrity, and a commitment to God and family. And that's what David was sharing with Solomon. He says, be strong. Hang in there. Face that opposition. And then a second thing that he says, he simply says, be a man. What does that mean? You know, to be honest, we don't have a lot of good examples in the world of men today, do we? And I preface that by saying in the world, those that we read about, those that are glamorized through TV, newspaper, or magazine, those men who have become famous in the world, it can be pretty confusing. One thing that we can be certain about being a man is different than being a child. 1 Corinthians 13, Paul writes, when I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child, but I put these behind me, I put away childish things. You may have seen the sign that says, the bigger the boys, the bigger the toys. And a lot of times that's maybe what we see with our fathers of the world. They just buy bigger toys. Don't concentrate on becoming a man. He said, Solomon, you're about to take over my throne, and it's time that you become a man. How does a child speak? A child speaks in selfish terms. Give me what I want. Give me what I need. Give me, me, me. How does a child think? He thinks in small terms. A world roughly his size. But when we become adults, we put away childish things. We grow up and are called to do God-sized tasks. And fathers, the biggest task in your life is sharing with your children. Sharing God with your children. And then finally, he says, be faithful. Notice that in verse 3. Keep the charge of the Lord your God, walking in His ways and keeping His statutes, His commandments, His rules and His testimony, that you may be that you may prosper in all that you do. Faithfulness isn't a virtue that's celebrated much today, is it? Think about that for just a moment. The world doesn't really celebrate faithfulness as Scripture does. You'll hear someone say, well, they've been married 20, 30 years, and you just almost get a look of surprise. How can someone last that long? You know, we have a board in our back area there that's got several names, and we're adding to it every year of those who have celebrated 50 years together. Celebrate faithfulness. Society doesn't do that, but Scripture does. God expects that. God says that those who are not faithful will not prosper. And that's certainly true in every area of life. And David learned firsthand the pitfalls of not walking in the ways of the Lord. The Bible says David was a man after God's own heart, but by no means was he faithful in all ways. He made mistakes. Yet he knew who his God was, and he returned. David knew what he was talking about when he told Solomon to be faithful, to walk in the ways of the Lord. We need to be an example of a faithful father to our children. Be strong, be a man, be faithful. It sounds easy, doesn't it? And that doesn't apply just to fathers. That applies to Christians. That applies to each and every one sitting here this morning who have made that commitment. We introduced two new brothers just this morning, recently making that commitment. What a wonderful thing. So did Solomon adhere to his dad's advice? You know, like so many sons before and so many sons after, he did not. He tried to make allies by marrying women from other countries. He allowed them to have influence over things of vital importance. And he turned and served their gods as his own. He didn't heed that advice. And we see the end result. The divided kingdom. We've been looking at that as we've gone through this book of Kings. We know what happened because he didn't heed the advice. He was given godly advice, but he chose to follow his own heart instead. By the way, dads, you know there's really no guarantee with our children. They have a free will to choose what they want to choose. And they will someday. But all we can do is give them the best example that we can. We pray for them. We bring them up in a Christian home. We don't send them to church. We go to church and we take them along. We set an example. A bit of research conducted by the Christian Businessmen's Committee found the following. When the father is an active believer, there is about 75% likelihood that the children will also become active believers. But if only the mother is a believer, this likelihood is dramatically reduced to 15%. It takes a family. It takes a loving father, a loving mother, a Christian home. Fathers, provide that. I know you're striving to. Our prayers are with you. Mark Twain once said, "When I was a boy of 14, my father was so ignorant, I could hardly stand to have the old man around. When I got to the age of 21, I was astonished at how much the old man had learned in 7 years." And you know that. You remember your father. You remember growing up. I remember as a senior, I wanted to quit something I'd started. And my dad, who's here today, and I've thanked him for this before, he wouldn't let me do that. He said, "You need to finish that task." I had all these good reasons for not doing it. He said, "You started it, you need to finish." What good advice. Psalm 127, sort of an ironic psalm written by Solomon. He said, "Unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stand guard in vain. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for He grants sleep to those He loves. Sons are a heritage from the Lord, children a reward from Him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are sons born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their enemies in the gate." Fathers here this morning, dads here this morning. In 1924, President Coolidge proclaimed the third Sunday of June as Father's Day. God, however, put throughout His Word reminders that as we are honored today by our families, we have a great responsibility to live up to. And I want to encourage you in doing that this morning. Big task, but a task that I feel you're up to. Let's pause for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before You this morning, and I want to just raise our fathers up to You this morning in prayer. We thank You so much for the families You've blessed us with. We thank You for the physical families we have to enjoy here on this earth. And I just pray You will help each and every one of our fathers here this morning, our grandfathers, as they strive to set an example and show Christ through their lives. Thank You for Your Son, our Savior, for that sacrifice that He made. And it's through His name we pray. Amen. We serve a Father who has been there all along and will continue. We'll never leave. Sometimes we feel far away. As children, we've left. We're the ones who leave. You may be here this morning feeling that very thing. Maybe you haven't yet put on Christ through baptism and want to do that very thing this morning. What a wonderful opportunity you have this morning. Or as a Christian, you've fallen in some way. Maybe it's something you just want help in your life. And we can raise that to God this morning through prayer. If we can assist you in any way, won't you come as together we stand and sing.